This is Pocket Presents, powered by Sleeper.
Pocket Presents, gang, we are back. Another episode and another week that Jaden Daniels just does the damn thing. Tyler, I don't know, there's a podcast out there, a little show out there that has been calling this since the beginning. Are we the best show of all time?
I mean, if we want to use the Jaden Daniels Hail Mary as as proof, I'm happy to do it. I'm always, you know, you see this debate. I was watching a lot of Pardon My Take, so PFC Commenter and Barstool Big Cat obviously going back and forth on that Jaden Daniels Hail Mary. And they make the point that Hail Marys are lucky to a certain extent. And of course, you have the Bears defensive back talking smack before the play, or while the play is going on, rather. But there is an element to, there's just a certain magic with Jaden Daniels. Maybe it's luck, maybe it's skill, but there's just a certain magic that is irrefutable at this point.
You know, how many times do we see guys get sacked on Hail Marys or like not even get the ball to the 20-yard line? He had to buy a lot of time, make some people miss, put the perfect loft on the ball. Like even in practice, there is a landmark that you're aiming for on Hail Marys, depending on which Hail Mary you call. There's multiple Hail Marys, by the way. There's middle, there's right, and there's left most of the time. The ball has to land in the right spot that the people are jumping to, and the person in the back has to be in the right spot to catch the tip. Person in front to catch the tip if it goes short and then tries to get in. It's a real play. It's not just throw it up and play 50-50 or 500 or whatever. And at the end of the day, Jaden Daniels bought the time and they won. And it just seems like with him, there's magic to be had more often than not. That team believes. Dan Quinn, coaching his ass off, by the way, navigating situational football like a charm. I texted him after the game and he got back to me and he said that the second down play, he actually didn't let them score, but he was thinking about telling the defense to let them score, and they scored anyway. So they actually had enough time. But going forward in the future, he gets back in those situations, guarantee you he'll be letting people score. But it's just cool to like see how they navigate this, the timeouts, the situations. That whole team is not getting beat by being outcoached anymore, like the Commanders typically have been. And now they're talented. And now they're at the top of the NFC East with the Eagles, and the Cowboys are on the outside looking in, playing against the Falcons this week. Going to be a tough win to get. This division's flipped, dude. And now it looks like we're going to be seeing Eagles, Commanders for quite some time.
Yeah, you called it the beginning of the season. I mean, you said which team has the potential to be the Houston Texans of this year, the team that comes on, led by a rookie quarterback, surprising us all. You call the Washington Commanders, and it has undoubtedly been the Washington Commanders. This is my Packers fandom getting the best of me, but this feels like a really demoralizing loss for the Bears. You know, this is getting hyped up as the matchup between rookie QBs, but now it seems like these two teams have just become ships passing in the night, where the Commanders are ascendant, and now you have Matt Eberflus getting called out by his own players. How quickly before things get really bad in Chicago, or are we already there?
I'm going to say, if you look at that schedule in about 2 weeks for the Bears, it's about to get really real. We talked about it on Twitter. They're about to go through the gauntlet, and the winter is coming for them. They play the Packers, Lions, Vikings, Niners, I believe. They've got like the absolute gauntlet. The worst team that they play on the last stretch of their season in the last like 8 games or whatever it is the Seahawks. That's the worst team. And the Seahawks are a pretty solid team. Like they win games they should and they lose games they shouldn't, but they're a solid team. As far as I'm concerned, dude, it's going to be tough for the Bears. It's going to be really tough. And if the offense plays how they did, missing easy completions, like not hitting, that defense can only hold up for so long. And then you got to play the Lions and that offense. Like, it's just, I don't know, man. This is the type of shit where like one loss becomes two losses or three or four. And next thing you know, your season that had a lot of promise is ending with your coach getting fired. So seat's hot. Sorry, Bears.
One more thing before we get to the games. Deontay Johnson gets shipped off again, this time to the Baltimore Ravens. You called out in this week's Bo Nix film review that you felt it was a Ravens defensive problem. I have some friends who are Ravens fans, and they're hammering home the issues they have with Zach Orr's play calling. Is this move going to be enough to make up for that Ravens defense?
It will help, but is that what they needed? Like, their offense still scoring 25-plus points a game for the most part. They need a Max Crosby. That's what they need. They need somebody that can get pressure. And honestly, they need a little bit of help in the back end where they can just kind of man people up. Because right now their disguises suck ass. People are out of position. What they're being asked to do on defense doesn't fit the scheme, doesn't fit the personnel. Like, all that stuff doesn't mesh. And that's how you get Jameis Winston thrown for 300 yards on you in his first start. Like, it's the Ravens. You can't tell me right now that the Ravens defense is going to be able to play against a Chiefs offense that doesn't beat themselves and make it to a Super Bowl. Now, can the Ravens offense on the other side score enough points to keep up? Yeah, but that's not a great way to live. They need defensive help, and they need it fast.
I mentioned that that breakdown. That was the Jameis Winston breakdown. You also did a Bo Nix breakdown, which will be very helpful as we see now Bo Nix take on the Baltimore Ravens defense this week. Speaking of which, let's get to a couple of games. Detroit at Green Bay, the game of the year, the NFL giveth, and there are some stinker games, but there are some really good games this week, this being the preeminent one. The Lions are favored by 3.5 at Green Bay. They look great. There's some question around Jordan Love's health coming out of last week's game with that groin. How do you see this one playing out?
This one's a really interesting matchup. I think that the Lions will win this game, mainly because it doesn't look like Jordan's going to be 100%. Even if he plays, he's probably not going to be 100%. And even though the pass rush of the Lions doesn't have Hutchinson anymore, they're still actually getting pressure. They're causing havoc. Their defense isn't playing terrible. This game's going to come down to the Packers defense versus the Lions offense, which seems to be the most juggernaut offense in the league, can score at will. I do like that this is being played in Green Bay. There's not as much scoring typically in Green Bay as other places. The grass is a little longer. There's not as many big plays like that. I don't know, man. This one's tough. Can Green Bay's defense make this a retro golf game where he coughs it up a few times, gets uncomfortable, throws some gimme picks, and the defense of the Green Bay has to capitalize on that? That's the only way that I see this game going the Packers' way, because I just, in my opinion, the Lions are the best team in the NFL. They're better than the Chiefs. They're the best team in the NFC. I think the Lions would beat the Ravens tomorrow. Which golf shows up tomorrow, and that's going to be determined by which defense, not tomorrow, on Sunday, which defense shows up on Sunday for the Packers.
Talk to me a little bit about what you've seen in the film, because Goff has been virtually flawless in his past 4 to 5 games. I mean, his passer rating is the best in the league, and he didn't have to throw the ball a lot last week for them to put 50 up on the Titans. But meanwhile, the Packers defense has also been getting a lot of takeaways. So on both sides, walk me through what you're hoping to see.
Yeah, so the main thing with Goff is he's not making mistakes and he's not being asked to do a lot. The Lions are running the shit out of the ball. And what is Goff really good at? He's really good at that deep play action. Linebackers come up. He's got a deep crosser. He's not going to miss. So if you give him an open receiver and a deep cross, it's going to be 30 yards a pop every time. He's not going to miss those throws. Now, where does Goff struggle? Third down and blitz and tight man coverage. They haven't really been in those situations because they've been running the ball so well. So how can the Packers on early downs get the Lions to have negative plays? Maybe there's a holding. Maybe there's, you know, a tackle in the backfield. Who knows? But the Packers have got to find a way to get negative plays on first and second down to force those favorable situations that Goff is not so comfortable in. Third and short and the full playbook being open, Goff's going to find a way. Third and 10 to 12, blitz package. Is he going to hang in there and deliver a dime, or is he going to cough up an interception or a fumble? That's the game you got to play. So, yeah, this game is going to be a grab your popcorn. Let's see who shows up that day. But if the Packers can't stop the Lions' run game, it could be a long day at the office.
The other game I want to touch on is Denver at Baltimore. The Ravens are favored by 9.5 at home. Your Jameis Winston breakdown was making rounds on Ravens' Twitter last week. There seemed to be a lot of self-hating Ravens fans in regards to their defense. But now you have somebody like Bo Nix who can be a little erratic. You've seen flashes of good from Bo Nix. You've seen flashes of not so good from Bo Nix. What do you make of this matchup?
This matchup's unique. The Ravens defense is not playing well. Denver's offense is getting better. Denver's defense is good. You mix those two things and this all of a sudden becomes a really weird game for the Ravens. I don't know if Derrick Henry is going to be able to run for 100 yards on the ground against this Denver defense, who's been really stout all year long. Denver plays good teams. They play bad teams. Doesn't give a shit. They're stopping the run for the most part. Now you have Bo Nix against actually a favorable matchup. People look at the Ravens defense like there's something that they're not. There's going to be wide open receivers everywhere. Bo Nix is going to find them. And if you watch Bo Nix's film, like we talked about last week, Bo Nix is so deadly accurate. He has always been in college really accurate. He's not going to miss the open receiver. What you have to do to Bo Nix to get him off, you know, off kilter a little bit is you have to blitz him and play man coverage and make him beat you on man-to-man routes. The Ravens don't do any of that at all. They run disguised too high shell the whole game and try to late rotate. Bo Nix is a quick processor and he's accurate. That's not going to work. I'm looking at Ravens 9.5. I would take Denver plus 10.5 every single day, all day long. They might even win the game. It's at Baltimore. It's going to be a little crazy. I'm definitely loving 10.5 for Denver. I like 9.5 for Denver. This game just, again, it's Lamar Jackson. It's Derrick Henry. They got some weapons. They're going to find a way to score points. But if Baltimore's defense looks anything like they did, I don't like them at all.
All right. Fair enough. We'll see. We'll see which team comes out on top. I do feel like the messaging around this game will be one of these teams will appear a bit more legit. You know, Denver has become a tough out. Maybe we didn't think that at the beginning of the year, but I think the Ravens beating Denver will mean something. Yeah. But if Denver manages to upset Baltimore, I mean, we'll have to look at them a little bit more seriously.
100%. I mean, they're a playoff team at this point. They're a wild card team, and they're one of those weird teams that their defense is leading the way and their offense is getting a little bit better. It's kind of like 07 Giants in a way. Like offense was kind of ass cheeks most of the year, but their defense kept them in, and then their defense ran them through the playoffs. I'm not saying we're gonna get a Super Bowl run by the Broncos, but Bo Nix now is, if Bo Nix didn't have his like preconceived notion about himself that people on social media whatever have for whatever reason, if you just replaced his jersey and his name and all that stuff and just watched him play as a nameless, faceless guy, he looks like a 5 to 10 year vet right now with how accurate he is, his decision-making. I mean, he's last week, and I know it was against the Panthers. I don't give a shit. He had some tough looks and he was dropping dimes and he's only getting better. He's a good player.
All right, let's move on to what we're calling our mid-season award show. So I'm going to run you through a couple awards. I want you to, at this point, give me who you think would be honored with the given award. We'll start with the MVP through halfway in the NFL season.
Give me Jaden Daniels. Give me Jaden Daniels, close second Lamar Jackson. I mean, what more can he do? Given the situation, given how long he's been in the league, how little he's been in the league, given the games that he's been in. I mean, he went toe-to-toe against Lamar Jackson that 1 week, and Jaden had a hell of a game. Like, Jaden Daniels is going to be around for a long time, and it's going to be him in the MVP conversation with a handful of guys every year for a long time. He's special, he's different, and he can do it all different ways, through the air, on the ground, all of it.
I'll give you these next two together. Give me your offensive player of the year and your defensive player of the year.
Offensive player of the year for me, I think we've got to go Derrick Henry. I think it's either Derrick Henry or Saquon, but I think Derrick Henry has been the more of a holy shit. People wrote him off. Some teams didn't even want him to come to the facility to check him out. Dallas Cowboys, when you need a Dallas Cowboys 30th or 29th ranked run game in the league, didn't want Derrick Henry. Holy shit.
Not a good fit in the offense.
Hell of a play. Yeah, terrible fit. Defensive player of the year, give me Watt. TJ Watt, single-handedly changing games week in, week out. I mean, you saw him ice that game last week. I don't know, man. TJ Watt's one of those guys that, like, you just know he's going to find a way to completely change the game, and he does it almost every week. That's my player of the year. Now, offensive rookie of the year?
You have to double up here, man. Right? I mean, if Jaden wins MVP, how would he not be the offensive rookie of the
year? Yeah, do you have to? Yeah, is that how it goes?
One rookie of the year, but or a rookie has one MVP, but you think that
I'm going to say if Jaden Daniels wins MVP, we're going to pick a different offensive rookie. Fair. And I'm going to go, right now, I think you have to say Caleb Williams. Even though I don't know. Yeah, I think you got to go Caleb Williams. Although I love Neighbors. Neighbors is stuck on the Giants just dogging people, but I think you go Caleb Williams, Offensive Rookie of the Year. Give him a bone. Bears fans deserve something.
Fair enough. For the record,
then let's go.
Hold on. CJ Stroud was the favorite for a while last year to win MVP, but the last time a rookie has won MVP in the NFL was Jim Brown, and that happened all the way back in the 1960s, 1963. So it's been a while.
Here we go. We called it.
We sure did.
Yep. We called it. Jim Brown.
Sorry, continue. Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Defensive Rookie of the Year for me is Jared Verse. Now, if you watched the face mask gate last week, don't let that distract you from the fact that he has been a problem for the Rams, and mostly because Aaron Donald's gone. We thought that that Rams D-line was going to be ass cheeks. We thought they were going to just Swiss cheeks. Jared Verse has created pressure. He's been a problem. And now he's a cornerstone guy on defense that you're like, damn, okay. Now we can get one more guy on the other side and then we're cooking. So give me Jared Verse.
Let's close it out with the comeback player of the year.
Comeback player of the year for me, none other than Sam Darnold. Another guy that we were high on early, while people still thought that McCarthy, right? He's their other quarterback. That J.J. McCarthy was going to be their quarterback this year. We were on the Sam Darnold train, and now we're going to give him our comeback player of the year. He's balling. The Vikings, they're probably going to make the playoffs most likely. Give me Sam Darnold. I like it. I like Sam Darnold. I like Jaden Daniels. We talked about Derrick Henry being a great fit. I mean, our list may be a little biased towards the things that we talked about all preseason, but can't help that they're coming to life.
Yeah, it's hard to refute some of these. I want to close out with two fantasy-specific awards. I'm going to ask you for your surprise standout of the year and your biggest fantasy bust of the year.
Okay, biggest fantasy bust of the year. Another one we called Christian McCaffrey. Now, look, I haven't publicly said this yet, so this might be worth clipping. However, when I was in San Francisco with the 49ers, Christian had been dealing with these things for a while, and Achilles tendonitis, whatever you want to call it, like everyone has their things that they deal with that are not like the main thing. And preseason us, knowing that it was now reported as a problem, knowing that I shared the same hot tub with him talking about some of these problems, some would just say that, look, players get a tendonitis here, there, the other, and you should not just write off injuries you see in the preseason report, because when we said we're not taking CMC number one overall, that was our statement. We backed it up by saying, hey, they just came out with a report that they've been needing to rest him for an Achilles issue, aka tendonitis. Tendonitis is a tough thing to go away, just like plantar fasciitis, whatever. All that stuff, especially as a running back, it's a problem. So let's just give us, I love Christian McCaffrey. He is our bust of the year for fantasy purposes. We said that he'd be ready to go by the time they need him in a playoff run. Look at the timing. He's coming back in like 2 weeks. So bust of the year, prediction of the year, little self-suck right there. I am excited to watch him play football, and Jordan Mason's on my trade block now. So come get him. Well,
give me your surprise standout of the year.
My surprise standout of the year, I think it's Saquon. I really think that I was a lot too harsh on Saquon. Somebody in one of my leagues took him like top four. And I was like, dude, what the hell are you doing? Saquon's him. He's having fun in Philadelphia. I will say I absolutely hate the tush push. Stealing touchdowns from a hard-earned long drive that Saquon brings to them. I don't know. Saquon's really overperforming, and he's not being asked to do, like, he doesn't need to be a superhero now like he did with the Giants. And now he can just kind of be him, and I think he's going to have a longer stretch of really good performances now being a Philadelphia Eagle. It'd be really cool to see him end his career there over the next like 5 to 6 years too. You know, running backs' lifespans in the NFL, not as long. He could probably give them 3 to 4 more good years. So Saquon Barkley, congratulations on a good year so far.
All right, Kurt, I want to close on this. There has been a lot of self-sucking this episode, so we're going to feed you your medicine a little bit and revisit your playoff predictions. Yep. At the end, I'm going to ask you to give me a list of your top 5 Super Bowl contenders. I'm going to give you a chance to revise this rather horrendous list that we walked through a week before the season started. So to remind everybody, Kurt had the Jets as the number one seed in the AFC, followed by the Chiefs, Texans, Ravens, and he had the Bills, the Browns, and the Bengals all as wildcard teams. Not the worst. The Jets certainly sticks out, and you had the Jets going on to the Super Bowl to play the Falcons, who you had as your number one seed in the NFC, followed by the Niners as the two seed, the Packers as the three seed, the Eagles as the four, with the Bears, Lions, and Cowboys in the wildcard position. So yeah. Not the worst I've ever seen, although I think that Falcons Jets prediction, and I think you had the Jets winning the Super Bowl in that prediction, that might come back to haunt.
A little homer pick.
I mean, I think the Jets still believe it, but you and the Jets might be the only ones to believe that they still have a shot. I'm going to give you a chance here to revise this list. Give me your top five Super Bowl contenders midway through the NFL season.
All right. So my top five contenders: number one, the Lions; number two, the Chiefs, even though I don't know offensively if they can get it done; number three, give me number three as the Ravens; give me number four as the Falcons; and then give me number five as the Commanders. I'm doing it. Commanders top five. Jaden Daniels, anything's possible. We'll end it there.
Okay.
I mean, these next few weeks are going to be crazy. I'll just say that. All right. Now, look, we're getting into these player picks now, and Kurt can get you a $100 deposit match on your first time deposit. So use code Kurt, get in the action. $100 get you $200 to play with, and we'll go flip it. Follow my picks. Now, look, we're talking about quarterbacks here. Now, Jaden Daniels has been hot. Besides his injured game, he's thrown for over 200 yards in every single game except for the first one. He's thrown for over 225 in every single game except the first one. He's playing a divisional opponent. They're going to need him to ball out. Give me 225 as his multiplier. I like what I'm seeing out of that. Now, look, we're going to move down the slate a little bit. Kirk Cousins has been on an absolute tear lately. He's thrown for over 225 in every single game. He's playing against the Dallas Cowboys defense, who's ass cheeks. Go get his 1.35. These two to throw for 225, $50 pays out 104. Bang. That's all we're looking at. Instead of going a bunch of 200 stacks, we're going to go two players that are hot right now to have over 225 in each of their games to double your money. I like those odds. I like these picks. Let's go run it up. We'll get the picks done next week. All right, and that's going to do it for us. That is another episode, another great mid-season award show, and I'm excited to watch the action this week. We got a lot of good stuff coming. Game of the week, Lions, Packers, anything can happen. Paco. We'll see you guys next week.